He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
I looked at my computer this morning, the weather for Vernon, -8.
Rub it in.
Celsius for all you American friends.
And there's snow on the mountains, which means it's coming this way.
Yeah, and the other day I walked out for the first time this season. I guess the beginning of winter's coming at us, but the surface of water, you know, little puddles and stuff throughout the park I was walking through the yesterday are completely frozen, right? So that's a sign that, you know, we're moving into a different environment.
Yeah, I know. Put more clothes on. You can cover up.
You got to crank the heat up. You got to put more stuff on. When we walk to the gym, I got to put, you know, my toque and my gloves and all that stuff.
That's a workout just to put your clothes on.
Yeah.
And take them off.
No doubt, huh?
Yeah,
but, you know, we adapt. We are humans or creatures that are highly adaptable.
We certainly are.
So what's cooking?
Well, what's cooking is spaghetti squash. We have a big box that was given to us from some friends of ours who grew them in their garden. So I have a recipe for this. And also, you know, let's talk about some squash because it's delicious. Squashes are categorized as winter squash and summer squash based on the time of the harvesting. Summer squashes are harvested when the rind is tender and edible. For example, zucchini, crookneck, or kusa. Now, winter squash are fully matured vegetables with hard rinds and seeds, such as acorn, spaghetti, pumpkin, and butternut. And that's what I've got right now, a box full of those babies.
Yes, and I've always thought that squash looked kind of weird. And before you got me into them, I always looked at them as a kid and thought, what are those things?
You turned your nose up.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't raised on them. I wasn't really exposed to squash. I didn't really eat them growing up, so they always seemed weird to me.
Yeah, exactly. And kids like squash if it's got, you know, if it's prepared properly, but it is kind of funny looking. And when food looks funny looking, you know, just like the shapes of them, because they come in all shapes and sizes, squash does. So therefore, people go boo hiss, they turn their nose up. Now, spaghetti squash is an oblong, mildly flavored yellow winter squash that flesh separates into spaghetti-like strands when you cook it and run a fork through it. As the name suggests, the flesh of cooked spaghetti squash resembles spaghetti strands. So there you have it. Prepared spaghetti squash's noodle-like nature can be a great substitute for anyone who's searching for a low-carbohydrate alternative to grains and pasta. And that's what I do. And now this is the time because now it's getting colder out, and now I want to get more warming foods inside of me, where I didn't have any of that over the summer because it's so darn hot here. But now it's getting colder, and I want to have really warming foods. So this is where the spaghetti squash comes in. Now, 1 cup of cooked spaghetti squash, which would be about 150 grams, is only 44 calories, including 10 grams of carbohydrates, 1 gram of protein, and there's virtually no fat.
And yeah, this is a good example of a high water volume food.
Exactly.
You got lots of bulk or stuff, but there's very little caloric expression because most of the weight is water.
Exactly. So compared to spaghetti squash, 10 grams of carbs, and the pasta is 39 grams of carbs. So it's 400 times higher than squash. Now, as you had already mentioned, the secret behind the low calories of spaghetti squash has to do with the high water content, and you'll notice that when you're cooking with it. And spaghetti squash supplies a modest amount of carotenoids as well as essential alkaline elements, which will be calcium, magnesium, and potassium. And we all need to be loaded with that all the time. The color of the spaghetti squash can range between cream, yellow, or orange, with some varieties that have a green and white rind. Now, this is the new pasta, that pasta that Japanese women stay to eat thin. Neat, huh? So they don't eat spaghetti like we do. They have the rice noodle or buckwheat noodle, but they eat, that's new for them, is the spaghetti squash. So it's the new pasta of the day, and this tiny morsel you can enjoy all winter long, and it's got many other names like spaghetti, noodle squash, spaghetti marrow, squash and teeny, gold string melon, or fish fin melon. So those are the different names that can be used for spaghetti squash. There's a lot of things you can do with spaghetti squash, but how I like to cook it is I cut it in half lengthwise, and I scrape out the seeds with a spoon. Then I get a nice big pan, and I turn over the spaghetti squash so it's skin side down. I add a little bit of water, and then I cook it for about 50 minutes on about 350 degrees. So you place it cut side down in a large baking dish, not cut side up, okay? And once it's cooled, you make sure it's cooled because you have to handle it, you scrape the flesh out with a fork, and then you place it into a bowl, and you can just add butter. If you want to add some honey, you can add pine nuts, you can add some grated Parmesan cheese, or you can add some ricotta or goat's feta, sage, butter, salt, pepper. You can just have a ball with it. You can just do it, whatever you like, combinations you like, because it's kind of bland a little bit, so it takes on whatever flavor. But, you know, get into the spaghetti squash. I mean, you're going to be glad. You know what I do? I put my homemade hummus over top of it, and man, that's a carbohydrate, happy filling. I'm a happy camper and ready to go for the winter.
Yes, and compared to regular pasta, like even if you eat the whole grain or some kind of alternative grain other than wheat, get away from the gluten and the things that we know probably aren't ideal about wheat. The idea, I guess, is to lighten the load, because when I eat a plate of pasta, I always have to reduce the pasta and pack it with a lot of protein. Otherwise, I feel very heavy afterwards.
Yes.
And so for me, being an endo, I don't need a lot of calories from carbohydrates, and a lot of the data, a lot of the research is showing that intermittent fasting and low-carb, high-fat, and more protein is what it takes to prevent cancer in a lot of the disease pathology. And then you mentioned the carotenoids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would be absent in the pasta. There'd be zero carotenoid value in white, refined semolina flour.
And anything that, if there's any minerals or vitamins in the pasta, it's added into it after. It's taken out and added in.
Yes,
so this is all natural.
These are incredibly important for gene expression. So if you think that we're just genes that express themselves in spite of the environment, you're wrong. The environment and food is environment. Nutrition is environment. A lot of people don't think of food as environment, but it's on the outside. So you put that stuff on the inside of your body, it's broken down, and these carotenoids, these lipid-soluble, we know them as lutein and lycopene, zeaxanthin, there's like hundreds of them, and they actually lead to a response, a genetic response that's critical for immune system regulation and function.
Right.
So that explains some of the collapsing, the collapse of the immune system in people as they get older, who just subside on these empty, dead, sterile carbs.
Well, what it is it's easy for them. I'll just have a muffin. I'll just have a piece of toast. I'll just have a little piece of pasta. I'll have a muffin. A bagel. That's easy for them because they just think food is food and they just want to get filled up. But they don't realize that that's detrimental to their health.
Yes, it's the empty calories that people assume is going to give them something of value. You know, it's just everyone knows about fats, carbs, and proteins, you know, to some degree.
Yes.
But nobody thinks vitamins, minerals, you know, carotenoids and flavonoids or can even name them. It's just not part of the consciousness.
Right.
It's part of the trick of the public education system and the media.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that the recipe for the spaghetti squash is on our website, CoreyHawley.com. Under articles, click recipes. So there you have it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. And I've got a whole box downstairs that you're going to be having your fair share of spaghetti squash, Corey.
Yeah, good. I remember you produced that lately and put a bunch of stuff on top.
Yeah.
I kind of said, well, like, what is this? But when you dig it down into it, it tastes really good. You know, again, the stuff that I didn't understand or had no knowledge of or experience with, I always perceived as, oh, that's gross. But you've got to increase your capacity to imbibe and enjoy different foods, and this is why traveling is so good. And, of course, we live in a country where it's like traveling. You can go to any kind of a restaurant you want, and even in Vernon here, you can go to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to Nepal. Remember we were at that Nepalese restaurant the other day?
Yeah.
And you can get a taste of what it's like to try these different foods.
Well, that's why I used to have the Educate Your Palate Night every Wednesday night.
That's right.
The kids, I'd invite everybody over. Well, basically, it was for me to try some new recipes. But I saw a lot of turned up noses. But nonetheless, I said, you have to try it. Just take a spoonful. And then I'd make it different ways, be it yams or spinach or lamb or, I mean, nothing new in it for us, but when you get into children and people who come from different cultures even, they don't want to try something new. So there you have it. I think that's always a good idea and a good way to get some new recipes out of the deal.
Yeah, I just watched a great documentary called The Perfect Human Diet. And these anthropologists and paleontologists, they speak to diversity. Diversity is very important in life and on the planet. But the diet of ancestral man, before Neolithic times, going way back, was incredibly diverse. Just massive amounts of different kinds of foods compared to, I think the average person eats about 10 foods today, and some people even eat less.
Mm-hmm.
But the food quality is so poor today compared to that which we originally consumed. So when you get this insight, you can really see how we're actually shrinking. We used to be taller and more muscular and leaner, and you can see it's like wild animals compared to zoo animals, right?
Yes. Even the teeth quality, the hair quality, the nail quality.
The jaw is narrowing. You know, wisdom teeth were there, you know, evolution put them there. And the fact that we have to pull them out is incredibly solid evidence to show what negative effect the agricultural impact has had on humans.
So didn't you say, like, our jaw is narrowing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jaw's narrowing.
Yeah.
Even the skull is changing. The actual skull size is smaller than it used to be. So, you know, we're really designed to be hunting, gathering creatures. We need to have a lot of protein, good quality protein. We need to have lots of good quality fat. Next to no carbs would be ideal. Because the higher you raise the carbs, the higher the risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. It all goes up. And we're not talking spaghetti squash carbs.
No.
We're talking the sugar, fructose, all the crud that people think they call food, right?
Anyways, get on the website and look for the recipe and get some spaghetti
squash on. All right. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Caroline Dean. Well, she's an MD, a naturopath, a herbalist, an acupuncturist, an author, and a consultant, just to mention a few things that this most amazing and busy gal does. You asked her a question, the advantages of being an MD and a naturopath, and she says that training gave her more confidence to treat her patients. She's got the science of the medical doctor and the nature that heals as a naturopath. She's got the best of both worlds.
I think so, and I think that knowing her now and getting a touch of, well, actually, I'd met her before. She's been a consultant to different Canadian companies. I'd met her at trade shows. I always liked her. She always had this appeal. She's charitable. She's kind. She's generous. She's the kind of person that you hope most doctors could be.
Yes.
She actually cares about people.
Yes, she does. Now, the funny thing is, she's a fantastic interview, and I really want to meet her. She's been on The View, the TV show, with Barbara Walters numerous occasions. And she said that she was banned from the show because she mentioned natural therapies. And the show advertisers and promoters were major drug companies, so it was a conflict of interest. She wasn't allowed to go back on the show anymore.
Very common.
I know.
You know, they just can't have guests that are in conflict with the source of revenue.
Oh.
So, you know, these people that appear to be in control of their own shows, they're controlled by Big Pharma. They're controlled by the people that do the ads. And the ads is where the money is at. Even like the magazines, any magazine you pick up, understand that that magazine is controlled by the advertising and financed by it. That's how they exist.
Well, what's interesting is she says that staying healthy is your only defense to stay out of the hospitals and off prescription drugs, right? And she says there is mineral deficiencies and yeast overgrowth is paramount. She says that any prescription drug can be harmful and the side effects that are treated with more drugs. See, if you go to the doctor and he gives you a drug for some symptoms, not the cause, but the symptoms, because that's all they know. And now I'm being general here. And then you go back because you got symptoms from the drug that they gave you, and so they give you another drug to treat those symptoms. And it's just a bloody vicious cycle.
When you said what you just said, it reminded me of, I've been studying some philosophy lately, well, a lot of philosophy lately, and Socrates would go up to people and ask them a question. And he's the father of the determination between perception, you know, like an animal can perceive a tree, and then a human can conceive or conceptualize and say, why is that tree there? So you said that we have to get healthy. We have to get healthy in order to prevent disease. So if you said that to Socrates, in order he would say, he'd say, well, what's health?
Yes.
He goes to the root. Like, people say things all the time, and then he would say, well, let's, like, I love my brother. And he would say, well, what is love? And then they would collapse when they had to actually define the actual word that they were using.
I'm sure he created a lot of frustration in people.
A lot of enemies. That's why he was put to death.
Anyway, I found this very interesting. Dr. Dean said that they preached to her in medical school that if you don't learn it in medical school, then it's quackery. She says, and this is why many medical doctors don't know a lot about fitness, nutrition, or supplements. Now, as again, I am generalizing on this because there are doctors, very good medical doctors out there that work with supplements, nutrition, and fitness. But the most part, they believe that it's quackery, such as naturopath or acupuncture or being herbalology, right?
Yes.
Yes. She is also the director of Nutritional Magnesium Association. However, she does work with other minerals as well. But she says that the magnesium controls the whole body. And magnesium is one of the safest products that you can take. And if you take too much, your body will expel it through diarrhea. And the drugs that are given to patients will bind up the magnesium, causing a deficiency in magnesium in the body. And the drugs also contain fluoride molecules. So anything that you take as a prescription drug will take up the magnesium in your body from your bones, leach it, right? So
this is why, like, there are times when maybe a medication might be essential or needful, you know, maybe a course of antibiotics. Of course, prevention means not putting yourself in a state that you would even need that. But let's face it, we're surrounded by zillions of microbes, bacteria,
viruses,
that are all trying to take us down. And they always have been there, and they're actually in us and part of us and on our skin. And so when we are faced with that decision-making process, we better have backup. And so when we're on the drug or the birth control, whatever it is, we have got to bring in the magnesium, the vitamin E, the primrose oil. And what that does is it protects your organs and tissues and cells. And that protection is what the people who are taking the same meds do not have. And so this is what vitamin therapy can do. This is why it makes so much sense to me. And this is why I think that you can go through life without needing a lot of medication. But when you do need it, and there is a science to it, unfortunately, most of it's not needful, then that's where the vitamin therapy, and she has this knowledge, it kind of works together.
Well, what she does, she says, first, she educates the patient. That's what a doctor is. A doctor is a teacher. If you look it up, that's what a doctor is.
Yeah.
That's what it means. First, you educate the patient. Then you get them to do the research, and then they try the products, and they see how the products work in their body. Do they need to change it? Do they need a little more? Do they need a little less? You just don't tell the patient what to do, and they do it. You teach the patient, you educate the patient to become responsible for their own health. And that is what a doctor should be doing. Now, I don't see a lot of that going on. And we've heard a lot of horror stories living here in Vernon even. This is like in the last 2 years that we've heard stories right here in Vernon about some of the things that happen with medical doctors. It happens all over the world. I know it does. So there you have it. What a fantastic interview. And I would love to meet Dr. Dean.
We certainly will, because when we get to Hawaii, we're going to fly to Maui and have a little lunch with her, probably on the beach.
Oh, that sounds good to me, dear.
Yeah, she's checking out the Maui Waui, the lifestyle there, and I even asked her. She made a great comment at the end of that, which I stuck my heart to, and it brought me back to one of the reasons why I went there way back in 82, because it is a kind of a paradise, and it's not for everybody. You got to find your paradise, and it's really inside. But when you connect with the environment, the weather, the waves, the sky and all that, it can provide a kind of solace or serenity. That
but then she said that not everybody wants that.
No, not everybody does.
Exactly. So,
and I think they come there and they're just so full of whatever it is that people are full of here. You know, I could say a lot of different things, but they go there, and she said some people can't cope with it.
Because they have hurry sickness.
They can't cope with the beauty, the slowness. Other people just, they wake up. And they realize, my God, I've met many, many of them that are in Hawaii that left high-paying jobs and lifestyles that were destructive. They were wealthy but dying, and they wanted to find something else. And this is a great place because it's part of the States. It's modern. You can drink the water, and there's no deadly snakes or animals to kill people in the jungles. And there's lots of nature there, and of course I love to surf and the waves are up, and being in the water every day is something I miss, and I'm sure you do too.
Caesar, anyway, that was a great interview. Thank you, Dr. Dean.
Right on. Okay, so let's get back to our theme, which is the next idea or concept is your hot topic.
My hot topic is the Bohemian Bollywood Bling event. Say what? Yes, I just had a weekend filled with Bohemian style Bollywood bling. And what that was, every day for about 6 months, I did a little bit of work on this event. First off, what you do is you get a date, to secure a date, and you find out what's going on in the city. You make sure that there's nothing going on. This little town, there's a lot going on. So I had to make sure it was a weekend, a Saturday, with not a lot going on. I secured the date. Then you secure a venue. It has to supply the needs that you want, and then you pick out what you want to do. So I had, during the day from 10 o'clock till 4 in the afternoon, I had different workshops, starting with Bollywood, then we had Egyptian dance, we had burlesque jazz, we had Zumba, we had Egyptian, what else was there? There was the happy line dance, there was the bachata, Latino dance. And my classes were filled, and everybody loved it. They were pretty pooped by the end of the day. And then in the evening, what I did was I had a dance. The dance had a little Bollywood. It had waltz, foxtrot, tango, quick steps, rumba, cha-cha, sambas, a little bit of rock and roll. And then I had a floor show. And that floor show was a lot of fun. But it was a great evening and a wonderful day. But I do believe that next time, because I was pretty pooped by the end of the workshops, I think I won't, in fact, I know I won't do a party next time in the evening. I will add more workshops onto it. Because the whole idea about Bohemian is about freedom, be able to express yourself. And the Bollywood is about what Bollywood dancing do. They take a little bit from everything. Bollywood dancers start with Indian folk dancing, and they go into jazz and hip-hop and Charleston and Latin. So they take a little bit of everything in the dancing. And the bling is just about lots of glitter and lots of glow and just being whoever you want to be. So creating that was the event. That's why I was very eclectic with my different workshops that I have, and bringing the community together and showing everybody that what we have to offer here in this Okanagan area for dancing. And I just touched on a few. There's so many more styles of dance. And each style of dance, you didn't need a partner. That was the beauty of it. So it went over really well, and I'm really pleased. I had a lot of success with it. And I really enjoy doing that. I like directing and managing and looking forward to doing that. That's what I think.
Well, in terms of business, whether you're a retailer or a personal trainer, whatever it is that you're doing, you can't just stay at home and expect people to phone you because they don't know that you exist. So you've got to get out there. I learned this lesson. When you have a retail store, or when I was working with Finlandia Pharmacy, you go out in a 5-mile perimeter and you knock on doors, you introduce yourself. That's what you were doing. You were handing out a poster that you made to promote the event, and you met people. And then you didn't mention also that you actually sold some tables to merchants, which created revenue.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes,
right?
I did.
Just like our trade shows, like our conferences for CHI. Same kind of basic format. Now, for those of you out there, this is a remarkable experience. It's one of the many ways to put yourself out there, make yourself unique, and create something that you enjoy and generates revenue. That's part of the goal. It's to generate revenue, expand your business, because there's a wake. When I went out one day with my friends in Wyoming and learned how to do wake surfing, they actually let go of the cord that you need to get going behind the boat, and the boat creates a wave. And you actually ride the wave, and as long as the boat goes at a certain speed, you don't need to hang onto the rope anymore. It's bizarre. So I think that that is a good analogy to show what effect your impact has. You drop a rock in a pond, and you can see the ripples.
Yes.
And then you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it, expanding, getting ideas. And then you did it, and then you learned, okay, I won't do the night show next time. Hey, you want to go to the Ivory Coast? You need to go to the Ivory Coast, not just imagine it and dream about it and study it on the internet. You need to go there and actually experience it and then come back and then think, gee, I'd like to live there or not, right?
Well, the beauty of what it was I made connections with other dance teachers here in the city that do different styles than I do. And it was a really nice connection because a lot of these have their own dance studios. So I don't believe in creating animosity. I believe we all should work together because no one does the same thing. We can each teach the same dance, but we're both separate entities. We both have a different style. I've had many, many dance teachers in my life, and I believe that students should get out there and work with an array of different people. The same thing as with our CHI students. They have other teachers as well. And then what you do in your own business is you extract the best from the best. And it's always worked in my life that way. So anyway, I'll be doing it again.
Well, you're a true entrepreneur, dear, and that's why we connect so well. And for all the entrepreneurs out there, the difference between an entrepreneur and an employee is an employee goes to a job and they've got a guaranteed income and they have to show up and punch in and punch out and do the job they are told to do. Now, for some people, that little bubble of security works. But for some of us, it doesn't, and we want more. But you got to get your ass in gear, and the entrepreneur has to be very enthusiastic, like an athlete. You want to be a better athlete. You want to throw the javelin farther. You got to show up, do the dirty work in the dark shadows. That's where you do all your hard, gut-wrenching work. And then you show up one day in front of the giant crowd and throw your javelin, and they go, wow, amazing. But they have no idea how much work you've put into it.
Exactly. And that's it for my hot topic.
Good stuff. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Bruce Lee. If you love life, don't waste time, for time is what life is made up of.